Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Welcome to The Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Iceland Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Well, we have a lot of news tonight, guys. It's going to be an exciting show. Lots to cover. And a lot of stuff happening in the Star Wars universe. We had the Academy Awards. Oh, that's right. We didn't win any Academy Awards. We've got...
Or maybe we did. They didn't catch it.
That's right. That's right. Surprise,
where,
we did win for visual
effects.
Where was
Warren Beatty when we needed him?
Oh, man, poor Warren. I felt so bad for that guy. Anyway, you have found...
It was really Faye Dunaway. Let's be fair. It was really Faye Dunaway. Warren...
Guys, can we get through the intro here? God damn it.
The Wretched Hive Podcast for Friday, March the 3rd, 2017, episode 31 of The Wretched Hive. Welcome. You found us. And we have... a host of hosts here to help me host the show. And we'll start off with my Wookiee co-pilot, Greg Lent.
Well, I have a quick apology out there to Mr. Dave Potter. I think I have offended him, and I just want to say I'm deeply sorry. I regret any untoward gestures or words I may have had towards him. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us again for another week of the Wretched Hive. And I'm sitting here contemplating Academy Award-winning film The Suicide Squad and wondering, what the fuck?
I think I just vomited a little in my own mouth when you said that.
Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Rogue One. Suicide Squad.
I know. Don't just stop saying it over and over again.
Who has more Academy Awards, the Suicide Squad or Martin Scorsese? Because I don't think he's ever won a Best Director Oscar.
Didn't he win Aviator? Didn't they finally break down for Aviator?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he did.
Well, even if it's a tie, it's still not right.
It's not right.
Also,
Aviator's a good goddamn movie.
Helping host the show tonight, he's lifelong Star Wars fan, Scotty Vansky.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Oh, my God. I'm sure I'm going to offend Dave sometime during the podcast tonight, but thank you. I'm glad to be here. I can't wait to talk about the 100 million things we have to talk about tonight, Academy Awards, everything. It's going to be great. Can we hand this over to Dave Potter tonight?
Funny you should say that, because...
It was the Departed, Dave. He went for the Departed.
Ah.
Also hosting the show tonight, we have... Dave!
Lashing his cat.
Under only very few circumstances...
should you never...
ever...
Eva.
Call him
Martin.
Harry.
Scorsese.
Potter.
There are those who call me Tim, but that's a different movie and whole different cultural thing. So I can't believe we got hosted the Oscars, guys. I was very upset about that. I cursed at the television. Yep. Greg Glenn stepped in to say, no, the Jungle Book actually had really good effects. Greg, yeah, I don't care. I just don't care. Star Wars had Star Destroyers colliding and falling into a planet. Dave, I don't understand.
And by the way,
like, so, you ooh.
And some of those effects were practical effects. Maybe not that one that you referenced, but you know, you put our movie, Rogue One, up against, you know, all the others were all digital. seemingly.
I hate to sound like the Jungle Book apologist here, but it was an amazing blend of practical and digital effects. They did a really fine job with the effects in that movie. I will defend it to my dying day. My thing is, while the effects in Rogue One were great, I don't think they did anything groundbreaking. I think they broke new ground with the effects in Jungle Book.
Okay, no, hang on. Tarkin was not groundbreaking.
They've done it before. They did it in Tron. They've done it. They've done digital. They did it. Jar Jar was a digital character. They've done it forever.
No. Jeff Bridges was not dead. Second, Jar Jar should be dead. This is bringing back Tarkin, and I understand the arguments we've had in the past about Rogue One and the two digital characters. We don't have to say spoilers anymore, right? We all know.
No. Okay. Except for my coworker Sarah, who still hasn't seen it, but she's dead to me now anyway, so let's just move on.
Does she listen to this show?
Listen to this episode. They broke ground with that. I mean, if you really see what went into that, there are behind-the-scenes footage of what technology, what new advancements went into creating that digital character, those two digital characters. That's amazing work right there. That is hard, crazy CGI work, and I think it's fantastic, and I think they deserved it more than, you know, a kid on a stoop box with a green screen behind him. Stop it, Greg.
It was very nice, but Andy Serkis just farts in your direction. Andy Serkis has been doing this in his sleep for the past 15 years.
Trust me, green screen effects are not that hard to do.
We're getting to that, Dave. Dave, what are we calling you tonight?
Dave.
I'm getting out front of the story.
You buried the lead, Dave. Dave, you celebrated a birthday last weekend, didn't you?
Yes, I celebrated a birthday last Friday.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
It looked like you had a great time there at what studios tour did you go to there? Warner Brothers, was it?
Yes, Christine took me on the Warner Brothers studio tour.
Excellent. And while you were on that tour, it looked like you got to visit some Harry Potter attractions.
Among other things, yes.
Among other things. Saw some great pictures of you guys online having a good time. And but the best thing we saw online was the green screen production of you on a broom as a wizard flying through the Harry Potter universe, as if you were Harry himself almost.
As almost as if it was to say, Dave, please do call me Harry Potter, is what you were looking like there.
Yep. I told you, I said this online, I'm going to say it on the podcast, you're never living this one down, buddy. You're not. Happy birthday, by the way.
I think he's got nothing to be ashamed of. I think he made a damn fine wizard up there.
I agree.
No, he totally sold it, man. He's waving to the crowd and weaving in and out, leaning left and right on that broomstick. That was awesome.
31 times I have heard the intro to this podcast distinctly say, do not ever, under any circumstance, call me Harry Potter. It's not going to happen anymore. You're Harry Potter.
Well, this is the first show where we've said only very few circumstances can you call him Harry Potter.
Well, okay, 30 episodes then, Steve. And by the way, Dave/Harry, your Nimbus 2000 will be arriving soon for your birthday.
Nice.
From AdamandEve.com.
So if you haven't seen the video, we need to at least get a link up on our on the Wretched Hive Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. And find Dave's video. He does a damn good impression of Harry Potter for someone named Do Not Call Him Harry Potter.
So just to frame it up for people who have not seen it or have no desire to see it or cannot seek it out for whatever reason, at the end of the Warner Brothers studio tour, one of the things that is available is a green screen technology demonstration where they will either superimpose you in, you know, to the Harry Potter world, zooming around on a broomstick, or to the Batman world, zipping around on the Bat Cycle. made the obvious choice of going with the Harry Potter broomstick. And how that wonderful thing works is they put you on a broom and they trigger a wind machine in your face. And some guy stands there and yells things at you like, lean right, lean left. Now look over your shoulder. Now you're scared. Now you're doing magic. And you have to react as he does that. And then they take the clip of you doing that and green screen the background in. And magically, you look like you're reacting to cars and boats and snow falling and things around you. And it's a lot of fun.
That was your robe you were wearing, though, right? That was your wizard robe that you were wearing.
Oh yeah, that was how I went on the whole tour. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm proud of you. Proud of you, son.
I thought it was pretty awesome. Well done, sir.
Give a quick shout out to, speaking of my son, can we give a quick shout out to our missing Hive member tonight?
Yes, thank you. The captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez, unable to join us tonight. Partially my fault. I will own this one. Had to change the day at the last minute. So Nico, apologize that you couldn't make this episode, but we miss you, man.
The part of Nico
except for
Rodriguez
Scott.
Tonight will be played by...
Right. You're dead to Scott.
So. Especially if you're going to yell at him because he doesn't know how to work his goddamn computer.
Whatever.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because our first little story here comes from my buddy Chris. Actually, it's not a story, but Chris was quite amused that you could not figure out our new web service last episode, and that you dropped out the last few minutes of the show. And he sent me a string of texts with some suggestions as to where you might have gone.
Basically. Oh, dear God.
So basically he starts out, he says, where was Scott? Scott was one with the Force, and the Force was with him. But it didn't give a crap about his phone connection. He says, where was Scott? He was at the Bob Iger How to Capture an Audience Immediately Just with the Sound of Your Voice motivational seminar. he says, instead of hearing Darth Vader had a lava palace, he thought the other hiver said lava cake and went to get some. And his personal favorite, last one, he says, I promise, he says, I am one with Jameson's and Jameson's is with me.
It's almost like he knows him. Jesus Christ, man.
Well, all right. That's going on my tombstone. I'm already etching it into my little my desk here that I'm sitting at. So
awesome. Awesome.
I am one with Jameson.
Fine work, Chris.
All right.
Thank you.
Done. Well done, sir.
Now go get your own goddamn podcast.
From ABC News World Headquarters. This is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, guys, we're under 300 days until Episode 8. 286 days, to be exact. And so lots of news. I think in the next few months, we're going to get a lot of Episode 8 news, guys. So brace yourselves. It's starting to roll out. And... one article that caught my eye this week was from CBS8.com, apparently a CBS affiliate. Where was this?
Way to go out on a limb there,
Steve. I know. I'm really taking it.
It's apparently a CBS affiliate, not an ABC affiliate.
I could swear there it's an NBC affiliate, guys. I could swear to God.
And the winner is CBS affiliate. No, just kidding. It's ABC affiliate.
Warren!
Star Wars The Last Jedi title confirmed to be plural. Confirmed to be plural. And fans are freaking out.
And how it was confirmed, I thought, was very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there was a Star Wars España, Star Wars Spain, at Star Wars Spain. And this is, I think it's on Twitter, this account. And so there's a Spanish language emblem logo, Star Wars logo, familiar with Star and the Wars. And in between the Star and the Wars, as we've starting to be accustomed to with these new films, it says Los Últimos Jedi.
Los Últimos.
Los Últimos, exactly.
Últimos, plural. Plural. Yep. Jedi. Mm-hmm. Must be plural.
Right. Exactly. And so if it was referring to one Jedi, the title would have been El Ultimo Jedi.
What if it was a female Jedi?
No, no es muy macho.
La Ultima Jedi.
La Ultima Jedi. So what do you guys think? You think this has, there's some credence to this? Los Ultimos Jedi. And this is a Star, at Star Wars Spain. So I'm not sure if it's an official Star Wars sanctioned thread. But I thought this was interesting. What do you think?
I think it means there's more than one Jedi floating around. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that means it's referring to Luke and Rey, or Luke and Rey plus one, or Luke and Rey plus infinity. Because what if Luke has been gone for a while, but he's actually been training another secret, you know, super secret squadron of Jedi, and nobody knows about it, and these are the last Jedi? Or what if Snoke is actually Mace Windu, and he's a last Jedi?
Well, Dave, we're not going to know that until episode 9, when the ghost of Han Solo comes creeping through some shrubbery and sits down and says, "No, Luke, there is another."
It's creeping through some shrubbery.
Yeah.
Is that a Isn't Monty nice Python one? Reference?
Plus one. Oh, man.
I like this idea that there's more than one, that it's the plural use of the word Jedi. I really like that. It makes a lot more sense.
I think that's actually less controversial than if you were to, because if you did go with the singular, at least in the Spanish language, you would then, the question would then be whether they went with the masculine or the feminine, and then really what are they talking about? So I think this is kind of puts to rest a lot of those types of that type of talk, and still leaves some mystery in there.
Well, if I understand Spanish, which I don't, because it's plural, it can mean. Oh my goodness! I've been way too long out of high school Spanish.
White guys mansplaining Spanish. Here we go.
We need some theme music.
Best podcast for Spanish. No, isn't it? It doesn't matter if you're talking. Oh, good God. The three different case. Oh, okay. Jameson definitely. Never mind.
He is one with the Jamesons, and the Jamesons is one with him.
Quit on a topic like that before.
I want to pick that thread up and run with it, but I just have no idea.
I have to go back to my damn tenses of verbs from Spanish class in high school to remember this. But isn't it something to the fact of second person versus third person that it, crap? Yeah, this. Oh man, I'm just gonna quit while I'm ahead.
I love how you just outed yourself and then you decide to go back in. Give it a second
try. I only feel that way during this podcast. So that's it.
There may be something to, I don't know. I think it's, I clearly, if this is a sanctioned Star Wars thread, which I don't know that it is, at Star Wars Spain, I kind of think it's not, but I agree with Dave's assessment. I think this really adds some mystery but suggests that there's more than one. And I think clearly there's going to be more than one Jedi in this movie. It's just the matter of who.
Well, Greg made a great point about the singular aspect of it. If it was masculine or feminine, it's El or La. Is that correct, Greg?
As far as I know.
Yes.
Okay. So since it's Los, is it, say that again, Steve, it's Los?
It's Los Ultimos Jedi.
Okay, it's not Los, right? Not L-A-S?
It's L-O-S.
So I believe that's the same thing. It's masculine, which means it's dominant. It's male dominant, right? So I'm back on it, guys. Damn it, I'm going to work this out, and it's going to be the best.
Scott's prediction right now, they're killing Rey in the first 5 minutes, and Finn becomes a stormtrooper because chicks suck.
I did not say that.
It sounded like you. It sounded a lot like your voice that was saying that.
You son of a bitch, Harry.
You know how they have some websites that you click in the upper right hand corner and it switches everything to Spanish? Well, I'm going to switch our whole podcast to Spanish right now. Okay, here we go. Hold
just
on.
Just like that episode of Friends.
I'm hitting the Spanish button. Hold on. Here we go. Okay.
Nothing's happening.
All right. It didn't work. I'll have to I'll have to keep trying. I don't know.
Me toca discos, este descompuesto.
Sí, sí, Greg, no es muy macho, sí.
Taco. All right.
I'm glad we're not being offensive at all.
I'm glad we're not recording this because, oh, wait. Damn it. This is the pre-show, right? Or did we start? Oh, we started.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Oh, man.
Well, we talked a little bit. Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. I was going to say, if this is on the show notes, I apologize. I didn't get a chance. If there's a way to do less show prep than nothing, that's where I'm at right now.
Got it.
So is by any chance the news that was announced today, the day that we're recording this, is that in our show notes to talk about tonight? Or do you want to do a breaking news thing about
it? No, let's do a breaking news.
So there was an announcement earlier today that it has been discovered that Lucasfilm has issued a new trademark application for Star Wars Rivals. And the internet is, of course, twisting itself in a knot to try to guess what that means, because there's really no way to guess what that means off of the filing.
And the patent that it was filed under, they had to give the broadest of all descriptions of what they were trademarking, and it really could have ranged anything from like mobile games to television shows to pogo sticks, things like that. It could have been anything.
Yeah, the website that I found that I'm looking at right now, IO9, says that they filed two trademark applications for the phrase Star Wars Rivals. One is for education and entertainment services. The other one is for, God, apparatus for recording, transmission, or reproduction of sound or images, audiobooks, audio recordings, audio or visual recordings, and there's at least 17 more lines of disclaimer-type crap like that. So Rivals could be a TV show, a short film, a video game, a movie. It could be a decorative magnet. It could be, you know, a wax flooring sealer. It could be anything at this point. What do you think it is? Do you think it's a sequel to Rebels? Do you think they're going to cancel Rebels and replace it with Rivals?
Sounds like a game to me. Sounds like some sort of a game. Video game, board game, something.
You know, I like that.
The Apple aficionados do this as well. Apple creates a trademark or a patent, and they're all over it, and it just creates all kinds of buzz. Kind of interesting. It's an interesting way to try to figure out what they're doing. But that sounds like a game to me. Like Star Wars Rivals sounds like some sort of a video game.
It does. It sounds like another mobile game. I mean, they've had a bazillion mobile games that have come. It just sounds like another one of those.
Yeah.
That's a good call, Greg. I didn't think of that, but that's a great call.
Yeah. Special guest joining in. You want to say hi?
Hi, hello.
Hey, Nico.
Yep. Captain is on deck.
Fashionably late, of course.
Hey, I had work. You guys didn't tell me what was going on. I don't know if Steve did in the whole intro. We're recording a day early. Nobody told me. But we're here now, so we're good.
This literally came together like 2 hours ago, so don't feel bad.
Yeah. No, nobody told anybody until about 5:30 p.m. tonight.
Bitchin'.
And just so you know, we're recording in Spanish. Our words are being translated.
Que bueno. Wait, will that come out in English? Or?
Yes, that will come out in English.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
¿Dónde están mis pantalones?
I have no idea where your pants are, Nico.
So we talked a little bit at the top of the show about the Academy Awards. Shut out! The Academy Awards.
Hosed.
Totally hosed.
Beat out by Suicide Squad.
God almighty.
Academy Award winning film, Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Yes.
But Star Wars director J.J. Abrams is quoted, and this is from nydailynews.com. Star Wars director J.J. Abrams says Mark Hamill will win an Oscar for Luke Skywalker role in The Last Jedi. Now, I couldn't find video of this or audio, so I can't completely vouch for the accuracy of this article here. And it is from New York Daily News, so not sure. I don't know what to tell you.
If that did happen, the internet would explode.
Yes. Forget the Force, Luke needs an Oscar. Star Wars filmmaker J.J. Abrams doesn't know who's going to win the Academy Award for Best Actor on Sunday. This is last week. But he predicts Mark Hamill will be in the running next year after The Last Jedi hits theaters. Quote, I think we are all going to be very upset if he does not win an Oscar, and no one more upset than Mark. He told us at the Oscar Wilde Awards in L.A. Okay, so that sounds like he's joking around. I don't think Mark Hamill would give a shit if he wins or not.
I don't think he really cares at all, yeah.
All I know is Casey Affleck is in the perfect spot in his career and physical appearance to play Ted Kaczynski in the Ted Kaczynski Story.
He's a little young, don't you think? A little young for that?
He's got the right look, though. I think a little makeup and he'd be fine.
Just that hobo chic look? Is that what you're going for?
that hobo rolled out from under the bridge look. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Except he's a hobo with a man bun. At least he was at the Oscars anyway, so.
Academy Award winner.
Hobo with a man bun?
Yep.
Ben still has more Oscars, so it's all good still.
I legit think the best running gag in all of that right now is still the Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon feud. I still crack up at that every single time he's brought up.
Well, I do too, but I thought like they had a little much of it in the Oscar ceremony. I felt like we could have done without like 5 minutes of it.
I don't know. I see what you're saying, but honestly, him tripping him was just perfect for me. Perfect. And then the playoff music, oh, brilliant. Ben Affleck and guest.
Until the big screw up happened at the end, they were supposed to close on both of them as well. There was going to be another closing joke on that also. But
oh man,
you know what's great?
The closing was the joke.
But Jimmy Kimmel realized nothing was going to top what had just happened, so he just wisely stayed on the stage until they ran the credits.
Exactly. Well, you could tell Kimmel looked really shaken at the end. It seemed like he felt like it was somehow his fault. I don't know, you know. I guess we'll find out what happened, but he seemed like he was upset.
Oh, we already know what happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, do we? Oh, fill me in.
He gave his side of the story on his show on Monday. So, yeah.
Oh, well, do tell. I didn't hear it.
They apparently what the Academy, Price Cooper's Waterhouse, Sterling Draper, Jackson Gordon Cooper,
Bueller,
Skywalker.
Skywalker. Apparently, what they do is they have two copies of Every Envelope for each nomination.
Mm. And on either side of the stage. They can adjust for a change of where the presenter is going to come from.
Okay. Yeah, and so even though Emma Stone had already won hers, the second envelope somehow got into the hands of Warren Beatty. That's why when he's looking at the envelope, it looks so confused, and everybody thought, like, I totally thought he was just playing around with it, and Faye Dunaway made some comment about it. He was legit confused. He had no idea what the hell was going on. And so wisely, he handed it off to Faye Dunaway and let her screw it up.
He's like, you do it.
That was brilliant. So you can see clearly when he's walking out, there's some high-res shots of him holding the envelope in his hand on his left-hand side, and you can see it says actress in a lead role or whatever. Mm. So he was given the wrong envelope from the get-go. And now that they've made the apology, Price, Waterhouse, Draper, all that, those guys actually have kind of cleared up a few things online and they're investigating, but they've determined that it was one of the guys that hands off and kind of guards the table where the envelopes are, was too caught up in posting pictures to Instagram.
Yes. No, it's true. On his personal, it was Twitter or Instagram. He put a picture up of Emma Stone, newly crowned best actress, Emma Stone, backstage holding her statue, looking quite lovely.
Right. At 9:05.
Posted it like 2 minutes before Beatty and Faye Dunaway walked out on stage. So he's busy working his social media can look like a stud instead of paying attention to, hand him this envelope instead of that envelope.
So
you're fired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
he's a managing partner of the firm, though. It's not as simple as just firing him. He has an equity stake if he's a partner.
Yeah. That's true.
He's going to sell it, and he's fired.
Well, if he's not fired, he's sitting in a back office in Alaska somewhere. So
he's pushing pencils.
It's the biggest mistake in Oscar history. I mean, come on.
And Steve Harvey wasn't even there.
No, it was so funny.
Well, the thing that got me about it was that for all the talk they do about what if there is a mistake, because there have been mistakes in Oscar history before in terms of the wrong person being announced. And they talk about how we have this protocol. It's really clear they don't have any fucking idea what they're going to do if there's a mistake. Because if there was a protocol, I'm telling you that the producer of La La Land would not have been the one to go to the microphone and explain, oh, wait, we didn't actually win. It's these other guys. Please come up here and let me give you the award that I'm holding on to and I don't want to give up right now.
Oh, so many things I want to say right now, Dave, off of that. Let me just jump on that. Yes, that is so true. You see all the staff members running around with like chickens with their heads cut off in the background while he's the one who actually whips the card out of the correct card out of Warren Beatty's hand. Somebody gave the card to Warren Beatty, the correct one, after the mistake happened. Mm-hmm. And when he turns around, he rips it out of his hand. Look at that again. Watch that video and you will see almost like this anger hostility between those two. It's like, you just read this off to me. I just made a big old speech and now I have to come up here and tell the entire world that nope, it's not me. Thanks for listening, but it's these guys over here. But second of all, the guy, so you mentioned that about protocol, Dave. The guy that was caught tweeting 2 minutes before he's walking out there, Warren Beatty, whatever that guy's name is, was being interviewed just 2 weeks ago about that exact topic, about having protocols that nothing like this could ever happen because we have two sets of cards at all times to make sure there are no mistakes. I'm like, you're the guy who just said that on live television 2 weeks ago. And you're the one making the mistake. Oh, you are toast, man.
That's pretty awesome.
And one thing I read on Monday that I actually didn't know was this kind of mistake has happened before. It was back in 64, I think. Sammy Davis Jr. read the wrong winner for, I think it was Best Song. But it never got the attention that this one did because he was given the wrong information and he announced a winner from a different category. Somebody that wasn't even nominated for Best Song. So it was very clear as soon as he said it to everybody in the room, wait, that is not right.
Yeah.
So there was no, you know, embarrassment or this feeling like, oh, it got taken from someone and given to somebody else.
Interesting.
And then, of course, there's Jack Palance, who, of course, read Marissa Tomei's name when that should have been whoever else it should have been. She never even just should have gotten that Oscar.
Oh, you're killing me. I love that movie.
That's actually a rumor and it's been proven false many, many times, but I think it's something that still lives out there in the internet somewhere.
Okay, Jungle Book.
Was that before or after the one-armed push-ups?
It was in that time frame. Okay. Was it after?
It was after because Jack Palance did the one-armed push-ups when he won Supporting Actor for City Slickers, and that's why he was the presenter the following year for Best Supporting Actress and gave it to Marissa Tomei.
There you go.
Got it.
Way to pull it out of your ass, Dave.
Fuck. That might have been the best Oscar hosting night by anybody because Billy Crystal worked those Jack Palance jokes for the remaining 17 hours of the Oscar telecast.
Sorry, I'm distracted. You had me at Marissa Tomei. Sorry.
Oh.
Man, that's a beautiful woman. Anyway, what were you saying about Jack Palance? I don't know.
He's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, Crystal, I remember that episode or that broadcast. Billy Crystal was just nails. He just crushed it. That was really funny. He was a great host. Actually, we had a little trivia at the Oscar party I went to. Who has hosted the Oscars more than anyone else?
Johnny Carson.
Bob Hope.
Johnny Carson.
The correct answer is Bob Hope.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well done, Dave.
Nice job, Harry.
All right, we do have some other Star Wars news to cover, guys, believe it or not.
Yes, not so more Oscar talk. More Oscar. We got more. I'm sure we could talk more about the Oscars.
Wait, are we doing this? Is the Wretched Hive, right? It's not Oscar talk tonight.
The Oscar Hive.
Okay. Oscar. Wait, before you jump in on that,
the Wretched Oscars.
Jumping off of the Oscars and the trivia.
Certainly was Wretched Oscars. Jesus.
Oh man,
Suicide right. Squad. What the hell?
I can't believe that. Hey, so we brought this up before about doing trivia. Is that still a thing that we're working on, or what's going on with that, guys?
I think it's a thing that we're working on. I know we talk about doing a live to tape group recording.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At a remote location. I think that would actually be a prime candidate for some trivia stuff.
Because I have got the primo question for you four. I want to stump all of you.
The correct answer is Pamela Anderson.
Oh, then I'm out. You got me.
Well, you can't just throw that out there and then let it hang. Come on, let's have the question. Let's do it right now.
Who says and when is the first time it's a trap is mentioned in the original trilogy?
Mm. Your mom, and about 5 minutes into the movie.
Damn it!
It's a trap, what, Scott.
And what film? So what? When? And what character says it?
Leia, Empire Strikes Back.
Anyone else?
Turning the corner, right? She looks back and said, "No, Luke, it's a trap."
Mm-hmm. God damn it, Greg. Are you typing on Google? I swear.
No.
I thought I had you on this one.
All right. What is the number of the trash compactor on the Death Star where Luke and Leia and Chewie are all residing?
THX.
Nope.
358-3127.
Close. You got the first number right. Scott?
I'm blanking now. It's so close to what I thought Steve said.
326-3827.
TK421.
Why aren't you on your post? 326-3827. I want that phone number. That would be so cool.
326-3847.
So Star Wars did not win for visual effects, as we've discussed already.
Jungle Book in the hizzy!
Jungle Book taking that one. But, you know, Star Wars also did not win, but was nominated for sound mixing. And I think, was it Hacksaw Ridge that won sound mixing?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Here's my impression of Hacksaw Ridge. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang.
Did you guys see, have you seen
Hacksaw? I'm not going to let that guy die because I'm a doctor. The end.
This dramatic reenactment brought to you by The Wretched Hive. I was so unimpressed with that movie. I have to say it seems so formulaic. I could almost recite the next line in the script before it was said. It just seemed really, really formulaic to me.
Yeah, I watched about half of it and I felt the same way. It you could tell they were writing it as Oscar bait, and it's just like Andrew Garfield just the whole time was like, I don't believe in violence, and I just want to go help my fellas live. And just come on.
I just can't believe there wasn't a Best Supporting Actor nomination for Andrew Garfield's ears in that movie.
I like the hair. The hair, man, that kid's got some hair on him. He's got great, great hair.
No, I am not kidding. When I posted that on Oscar night, I am not kidding about the fact that this is the first Oscars I have technically not seen any of the top major categories, any of the films, ever. That's crazy for me. You guys know I'm a freaking movie nut, too.
Yeah.
No, you're just a nut, but...
You would probably like La La Land.
It's a good movie. I don't know if it was a great movie, but it's a really good movie. It's very cute.
I thought it was very solid. I was disappointed it didn't win, and I was very disappointed Ryan Gosling didn't win.
I thought it was great, also, but I was pleasantly surprised with Moonlight. Moonlight kind of snuck up on me out of nowhere, and that's a pretty strong movie. There, some good acting, really good performances.
That Mahershala Ali dude is kind of all over the place right now. So I he's a really good actor. He is. Cards. He was in the Luke Cage series on Netflix. Yeah. A couple other things that are slipping my mind right now, but yeah, he's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seemed, my only problem with him, and this is a minor thing, is he seemed to be kind of like that over the top villain during the whole Luke Cage thing. Like, it seemed a little like, you know, I'm waiting for him to twirl his greasy little pencil mustache or something at some point. And then cap somebody, but whatever, you know.
Guys, let's get back to the wars here. We've got a couple more stories to cover. Wanted to bring up the fact that Disney announced the next Midnight Madness. The next Midnight Madness event, Star Wars Toys, will be released September 1st, 2017, ahead of the holiday debut of the next film in the saga, The Last Jedi. Force Friday 2, the sequel to the event that Disney used to build buzz for merchandise tied to the 2015 movie The Force Awakens.
Are they forgetting last year altogether? Did last year just not happen? Are they disappointed that Rogue One lost out to Suicide Squad in the Oscar race, and so now they're just forgetting it happened altogether?
I guess so, because they're calling this Force Friday 2.
You got to stop. You're not completing that. It's Electric Boogaloo. Let's get that everyone, through your throats. Electric Boogaloo. We got it. Come on. All together now.
Electric Boogaloo.
Force Friday 2, Electric Boogaloo. Electric Boogaloo.
But seriously, this should be Force Friday in 3D, though, is what it should be.
Right.
Can we just call it what it is?
Yeah.
Force Friday 3, Consumer Zero.
Force Friday 4, The Revenge.
So
personal.
Hasbro cited Star Wars sales when it reported its biggest quarterly revenue rise in nearly 5 years for the December 2015 quarter. So Star Wars making a lot of money for Hasbro. Also, Mattel posted a surprise rise in sales for the first time period. So Star Wars helping sell a lot of consumer merchandise, no doubt.
What is on Mattel? Is it the Micro Machines and all those little things?
From
Star Wars. Anyone else collect?
They do. Well, there's a Star Wars line of Hot Wheels, aren't there?
Okay, yeah. There's definitely that, but they're still doing like the Micro Machines, or they brought them back.
Were those Mattel?
Think so.
I think so. I have a bunch of those in my garage somewhere.
Yeah, the original ones from the 90s.
From the 90s, yeah. I don't know if those were originals, but yeah, they were definitely from the 90s.
Okay.
I used to play with them.
Yes,
you did. A little Dagobah playset, and you'd put the tiny little R2-D2 inside the little swamp creature's mouth, mm-hmm. Slap a little button on the side, and he would go flying out.
you could drop the little... the tiny little Gamorrean guard down the Rancor's throat, and then he would poop him out the bottom.
He would pick up the tail, and the Rancor would poop him out.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
That's good awesome. Times.
And this is how Nico learned about biology.
You eat something, you poop it out.
Everybody poops.
Now, talking about Star Wars toys, a lot of fans are speculating that that a clue about Rey's lineage has been given away on a Star Wars toy box. The Last Jedi's Rey wields a lightsaber and has a new hairstyle in the toy image. And this is from, this is all over the internet, but I'm looking at GameSpot.com. There's a box showing the new packaging of the new Star Wars toys. And she's, her hair's down. She's got, rather than sort of up in a bun, or pulled back like it was in The Force Awakens. And she's sort of looking like Qui-Gon Jinn in that picture to me, guys.
Yeah.
Sporting a mullet.
Yeah,
the internet is alive with that new parentage or lineage theory.
Oh.
I don't know. She's holding Luke's lightsaber, so I don't know. I have issues with whatever rumors are out there, conspiracies. She just changed her hair, people. Lighten up.
But Scott, it looks like Qui-Gon Jinn now.
Oh, okay. I, Drop everything. Give me the bottle of Jameson. I'm in. See you guys. I'm going to wait in line to see the new Qui-Gon.
because two people. Her name is Rhaegon Jinn. two people can't have the same hairstyle and not be related. I mean, come on.
I know.
That's why I am related to Samuel L. Jackson.
I thought so.
Let's see what else we got here. Is that it for toys? I think that was it. Oh, we had one other.
I have a toy trivia question for Scott.
Bring it.
This is from a statistic that I got from this week's episode of Comic Book Men. How many action figures, Star Wars action figures, did Kenner sell while it had the license from 77, I think, to 85 or 86?
Oh, no. Kenner had the license up until Hasbro bought them out, which was 99, I believe. And then Hasbro took over from there. So if they're saying it's only the 80s, then they're incorrect. And we haven't even gotten to a number yet. So
whatever your answer is, Dave, you are wrong, sir.
I can only go with the information that I am provided.
Then you tell Kevin Smith he's wrong. And I would like to have a one-on-one talk with him about this. So 78 was when the first line of figures hit to 1985 when they closed out with the Power of the Force 1. So I'm going to say 97 figures.
No, I'm saying how many units were sold commercially. I'm sorry. Not how many were in the line. Sorry.
Oh my goodness. That I can't. You know, I didn't know Hasbro.
Both of those are really difficult questions, Dave.
I know. You son of a bitch.
It's a trap.
Right? It's a
trap. How many units? 300 million.
Yes, you're correct.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I seriously pulled that out of my ass. I'm so sorry.
Scott, and 1 million of them were to Scott himself, so that's saying a lot.
My God, what are you eating, man?
Wow.
300 million 3¾-inch figures.
That's what the statistics said.
Wow.
On the little show.
They
had a guy bring in the original Death Star playset.
Wow. Okay.
That is amazing. That, seriously, for collectors out there, that is, I don't want to say it's the holy grail, but it is one of those things you have to have. It is so badass.
Was that the original Death Star?
Yeah, it's like a four-level plane playset that's got like the trash compactor, one of the guns that you see in the original A New Hope where the ones that are in the black uniforms that are firing the Death Star gunners.
Oh, the gunners, yeah.
The X-Wings from inside the Death Star. That's such a great playset.
Yeah, it's got like a walkway with a retractable section so you can have the characters swing across on a rope.
Cool. Yep.
A friend of mine had that as a kid, and I was fascinated with it.
So what would both of you say if I told you right now I have one in my garage?
You're going to – Dave?
Yeah?
Get the bag. Get the bag. Get the gag.
I hope your family likes having us over a lot, Greg. I think that's what I'd say to that.
Bring out the gimp. Okay, I'm going to throw this in with a caveat because – yes, there were four levels. One of them, the bottom being, didn't have a hard bottom on it. It was just the trash compactor.
Yep.
And so you built these frames up, you know, one level at a time, and there were these little plastic posts in between each level. So there's three levels and then a roof that goes on top. All of my little plastic posts are broken, every single one of them.
Now, wasn't there little like styrofoam or like foam pieces that were formed the bottom of the trash compactor?
Yes, there's little foam, and I still have the original 1978 foam that went in that stuff.
It's not turned to gelatin.
Apparently, from the show, that's actually very rare that you still have that.
I think that alone is worth like $1,000, man.
Yeah,
2 cents.
And then on the outside, So once you put it all together, there's on the one side was an elevator that went up and down, you know, and then at the top of that was the platform that Obi-Wan is supposed to walk around that turns off the tractor beam. And then it kind of, it's like a large pie shape that goes out. And then on the outside of the pie shape, there were these cardboard inserts that were pictures of the outside of the Death Star. I've actually lost all of those cardboard pieces too. So it is literally just the frame of the Death Star that I have.
Well, I still have like the original cast. I'm not going to say they're all from 78, but I still have, you know, Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We should bring those over, set those up, take some pictures.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'm so there.
That goes without saying, Scott. I wasn't even going to.
I'm already there. damn. Greg, you don't happen to have the Dagobah playset, do you, with the little.
I have that.
I do not. Yeah, I don't have that one. I think the only playset I have from Empire was the Hoth playset that has the collapsing bridge and the Rebel command base.
I have that too.
Yeah, everything else was ships from Empire. The only playsets I had were that one, the JCPenney outside of the cantina scene, the Kenner inside of the cantina scene. And then the Death Star, and then a bunch of ships. I have a bunch of ships still.
Oh, you have the JCPenney one with the blue Snaggletooth.
Yeah, that's the one that I melted.
Oh, you killed me! Okay.
Scott, I have a Slave One with a Han Solo and Carbonite.
Oh, nice.
That was a ship. That was not a play set, sir.
It's a ship. And then I have the Sandcrawler play set from the original Star Wars.
Yeah, I didn't have that one.
That's pretty awesome.
I didn't have any of the play sets. I had a lot of the ships. I had the X-Wing. I had a couple of TIE fighters. Yep. I had Vader's TIE fighter. Mm-hmm. I had the Luke's sand speeder with those like springy wheels, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of figures. But my buddy had the Millennium Falcon, so I'd bring over the X-Wings and the TIEs, and he had the Falcon.
Yeah, I have a Millennium Falcon from the 70s. Nico has one from the 90s, and Kyler has one from the early or the mid 2000s. So I've got three Millennium Falcons.
is Kyler's awesome. The BFM?
Yeah, it's that monster one that they made. Yeah, it's that really huge one.
Oh,
cool.
That's
awesome. Yeah, I have that too. I had Jaden take a picture of it when he was real little, mm-hmm. and it was so hilarious because the thing is almost as big as Jaden.
Yeah, it's a monster.
It is. It's got to be close to like 3 feet, right? Like almost just
something
under.
Something like that. It's really big, especially when you compare it to the size of the other ones. Like the one that came out in the 90s, that's Nico's. That's close to, if not the same size as the one that was in the 70s.
Yeah.
But the one that came out later on in the 2000s is much, much bigger.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's probably the same one they re-released for The Force Awakens. It's probably very similar to that one.
It is. They changed some stuff on it, though. We'll have to do a collecting thing sometime soon. I've started gathering some info for that, Steve. If you ever want to drop that into the podcast, but
yeah, we could do a collector's cast, or we could do a segment, whatever. Sure. You know, if you want to do a recurring thing, that'd be great.
Yeah, I can spotlight certain toys or whatever. I've got enough to cover us for the next, 5 years, so.
Hey, guys, we got to acknowledge our sponsor really quick as we approach this part of the show. So let's just give it up really quick here for Audible.com. And Audible is offering a free audiobook download, the download of with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And there's over 250 Star Wars books available through Audible. And so go on, check it out. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/hive. That's HIVE. audibletrial.com/hive for your free audiobook. Go check it out now. Okay.
No.
Got to pay the bills.
We're in the middle of a podcast, Steve. I can't just leave and go start searching on Audible.
All right, fine. Go check it out later. Man. All right. We had another consumer announcement here We're all consumers. And so this is kind of a big one. Rogue One's digital and Blu-ray DVD release dates were announced, and some bonus features were revealed. This is, again, GameSpot.com. It looks like April 4th, 2017, Rogue One will be available, DVD, Blu-ray, and digital download. Also says chapter-specific, character-specific chapters for Jyn, Cassian, K2SO. Considering Rogue One had a lot of reshoots, it's a little disappointing that there's no mention of deleted scenes.
I was gonna say you ruined my joke there, Steve. But that's okay. I was gonna say the biggest news was, of course, the plethora of deleted scenes that were going to be included with this release, right?
Wrong.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know. So there's a Rogue One bonus features, a rogue idea. This is how ILM's John Knoll came up with the movie's concept. Jyn the Rebel, get to know Rogue One's defiant, resourceful survivor, Jyn Erso.
What if Jyn Erso was actually Qui-Gon Jinn's lost heir? Would that make her name then Jyn Jyn?
Wow.
Jyn Gun Jyn?
Did you really go there, Greg? Seriously? Steve, I need to point out something. You talked about, what was the title of that? The last special feature?
Los Ultimos Jedi.
Jyn the Rebel.
Yes. Are we back on Spanish?
Si. Si, senor. ¿Quién es más macho? Jyn Erso. Qui-Gon Jyn. Vámonos.
We've got Baze and Chirrut, Guardians of the Wills. Bodhi and Saw, the pilot and the revolutionary. The Empire, Visions of Hope, The Look of Rogue One. That sounds cool. I want to see that. The Princess and the Governor, Epilogue, The Story Continues, and Rogue Connections, Uncover Easter Eggs and Film Facts Hidden Throughout the Movie.
You know, a lot of those sound great, and I would love to see it. I'm kind of holding out now because of what happened with The Force Awakens. But you mentioned one of those was called, it was about Jyn Erso. What, The Lone Survivor?
Jyn the Rebel.
Oh.
Oh, no, I was reading the description. It says, Jyn the Rebel, get to know Rogue One's defiant, resourceful survivor and hear what it was like for Felicity Jones to bring her to life on screen.
I got to call this out. What a bunch of lies. She is not a survivor.
Spoiler alert. Come on. Give us a warning.
Oh, dude.
Come on. It's been how many months? You're telling me somebody's
dead all over again.
Well, none of them are survivors in that case, right? I mean.
Oh, spoiler alert. No, that.
She did survive the.
Tell me what. What
the taking
survive?
In the beginning. I mean, she survived Krennic's, kidnapping. Yeah. Attempt.
She survived a lot longer than anybody else.
No, you know what? Again, I think all those are probably fascinating. Some of them I'd find more fascinating than others. But you know what? I really would love to see a lot more about the making of this film. In a sense, the scenes that were cut and what those decisions, what the decision process was like to make those major changes to it. I'd like to see some of that. That would be a draw to me. And that's what I think they should focus on. And I'm almost certain because of what happened with Force Awakens, that's what they're going to do. So do I pick this one up? I want to say support them, but is another one coming out in, a month before Christmas? I don't know. So
I think probably yes.
I really love this film.
Yeah.
I, for one, am going to skip this release.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah. I've been burned one too many times. If I can get it cheap on a digital release, then I'll think about it. But other than that, I'm okay. I'm good. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I will not skip this release.
I too will be purchasing the digital.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, who's picked up the bonus, Blu-ray version or ultraviolet or whatever of Force Awakens? Dave, were you one of the people?
I did.
Mm-hmm. So do you have both copies then?
I do.
And do you prefer the second release over the first?
Only because it has a J.J. Abrams commentary track.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing that commentary track. That, but you know, like I say, I've gone this far without hearing it yet. So,
yeah.
And it looks beautiful on my television set. I'm not gonna lie.
you keep saying you got this beautiful TV, but I don't think any of us have seen it, dude. So bullshit. Yep.
We don't believe it exists, man.
I'm waiting for that invite, man. I keep dropping hints. What do I gotta do, man?
It's over here.
Come on. I'll bring peanuttles. What do you want?
You'll bring what?
Come on, Harry. I'll bring Dobby.
Sorry, I'm staring at a jar of butter toffee peanuts, which are the greatest things ever created. Campfire sells these, and Lisa just
Steve's going to rub his peanuttles all over your couch.
I do that all the time. It's no big deal.
And I'll bring my
peanuttles
butter
on your couch.
And I'll bring my butter toffee peanuts too.
No, hold on, second thought. I'm going to pass on that invite.
Now, there's other movie release news, guys. Aside from the Rogue One Blu-ray, there's a rumor out there. Yep, there's a rumor out there that an unaltered original trilogy, the theatrical release, original theatrical release, could be released this year.
Steve, can you pause 1 second? Let me take a drink, and would you repeat that one more time?
You're not believing that, you're not buying it?
Let me take a drink. Go ahead. Go ahead. What was it? There's an unaltered
Unaltered original trilogy theatrical version to be released later this year.
What? I don't know if spit takes work on a radio show.
That's beautiful, dude. That was just beautiful. I was not expecting that at all.
I know.
Wow. Wow.
I did not see that coming.
Hold on, I got to get a towel. Wait a minute. This is really gross. Yeah, so what do you think, this has some merit? Is this going to happen? Are we going to get an original theatrical release on digital?
I think it's going to happen right around the same time Disney does a theatrical release of the original unedited Song of the South.
Okay. I'm totally with Dave on this one. Yeah. Completely, could not agree more.
Yeah,
it seems like every 2 months there's another rumor of somebody somewhere is seeing that somebody's got a 4K unaltered trilogy release coming out. Let's all just cool our jets, guys. Let's all just hang back and wait for this to happen. We've all been burned way too many times.
Yeah, because I mean,
Greg, I'm enjoying my 3 copies right now. I mean, wait, did I say that out loud?
So a couple of things of why I'm always skeptical about that is, one, and we've talked about this, I don't think there is such a thing as a virgin unaltered Star Wars cut, because Lucas was tweaking that thing the first week it was in theaters back in 77. And granted, it was all very minor stuff, but I don't know that a true virgin opening night print of Star Wars exists anywhere in the world anymore. Second, doing a theatrical release, I don't think Disney has the rights to theatrical release for Star Wars. I think that's still with Fox.
I think they bought the rights to every film except Episode 4. I think you're right about that. So,
I think those are DVD rights. I don't know if that has to do with theatrical release rights, like distribution. I have no idea. I always thought that was something to do with the home video rights. That Episode 4 still lays with Fox, and everything else from the prequel trilogy, and then Empire and Return of the Jedi, and the current films all lie with Disney. Everything except Episode 4.
Yeah.
Well, this rumor stems from the source is Making Star Wars, which is not a bad site. I mean, it's not Variety or CNN, but they're pretty reliable.
So it's not a fake news site.
It's not right. So, quote: over the last month,
alternate facts, Dave. Alternate facts.
The evidence and tips have been piling up that the unaltered original trilogy will be re-released this year for the 40th anniversary in various formats. Several sources have let us know it was coming, and it appears to be actually on the way this time. We will share the details of the re-release when they become more concrete on our end. At this time, we firmly believe The unaltered original edits of 1977, 1980, and 1983 cuts of the original Star Wars trilogy will officially be re-released soon. From making Star Wars.
We really mean it this time, guys. It's gonna happen!
So, was the source for this Lucy from Charlie Brown, and was she holding a football?
Actually, the next line is, I do have to admit, being excited for Lofty Neck and Yub Nub jamming on the screen again. So, there you go.
I'm sorry, I think I interrupted Nico. I apologize.
It's okay, I'm used to it when Scott talks. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they're going to release it on April 1st. I think I saw that somewhere.
Right. And will we go to captainofthemillennialfalcon.com to make that purchase? Put in our credit card number?
Mm-hmm.
Or just send him cash. He prefers cash.
Yeah, you can PayPal me captain@millennialfalcon.com. That's not a real PayPal. Please don't send them money. Or do whatever. And when you do, give us a call. Let us know how it happened.
Don't send it to that guy. That guy's not
the wretched. Yeah, the Wretched Hive. Legal disclaimer: the Wretched Hive and any of the hosts are not responsible made as a result of listening to the Wretched Hive podcast.
Well, Lord knows we haven't made any money at this yet. So thank God.
What are you talking? I'm making bank over here, guys. What aren't you doing?
Well, Skype was free.
That's true. That's true. All right, so we've got some news here. The new Han Solo movie, of course, has begun production. There's a great photo. The first cast photo was released, and I'm looking at NOLA.com. Again, this is all over the place. And Scott, I think you put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, don't look at NOLA.com. Look at the Wretched Hive. That's where you need to go.
The Wretched Hive, facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. And there's a nice picture of there. The directors, of course, Phil Lord and Chris Miller with the cast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got to say, Alden Ehrenreich looking very Han Solo-ish in his leather jacket there. Or maybe indie. Maybe looks like a little bit more indie-ish.
Somebody's got to talk to Woody about his hoodie, though. Woody don't need no hoodie.
Now, I've seen some controversy over this photo. A lot of people I've seen online in certain threads talking about how Alden doesn't look very Han Solo-ish. Hmm. And I know you just mentioned that, but I know, Steve, that you did kind of backtrack and go more indie than Han Solo. So what do you guys feel about it?
I thought he looked just fine. I didn't see any problem with it. What's the he is wearing an indie stylish leather jacket, but you can tell that the hair is getting a little longer for that Han Solo hairstyle, I think. So
okay.
He looks just fine.
Yeah, that was my argument with a lot of the naysayers, was basically like, look, this is just a cast photo of them hanging out. I thought it was a cool shot, but I don't know.
On the bridge of the Millennium Falcon, as one does.
I know.
Now, the new Chewbacca, that's a whole other story. I don't know that that's I don't know if that's the right look.
Hmm. I just want to know, what is Woody looking at? What's he checking out? Where's his focus?
Eyes
at?
Are sort of gazing down at the control panel, it seems like.
Hmm. That lever there looks fairly phallic.
I think he dropped a joint and he's just trying to find it real quick before anybody notices.
It's not a good look, Mr. Woody.
It's kind of funny that they picked that picture. I mean, if that's the best shot, I imagine they took more than one photo. And Woody's looking.
Yeah, pretty much everybody's just stared dead on into the camera except for the old woodman there.
He's like the 2-year-old child in the family picture that you can't get to focus on the camera. <That's right. laughs> Like somebody's standing behind the camera with a squeaky toy going, Woody, Woody, look over here. Squeak, 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 Woody, over here.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
All
but
the twinkly lights are distracting.
This cast looks great, though. I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah. Mr. Glover is looking like, hey, ladies, what's up?
Yeah.
I'm so happy that dude's going to be in this movie. Really. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And Emilia Clarke, man, it's going to be great.
I'm so happy that chick's going to be in this movie.
Do we know who Daenerys is playing?
No.
Just speculation.
And the other girl, the other girl's Walker Texas Ranger. Was that what we figured out her name was last time?
Close. Phoebe Walker Bridge, I think, is her name.
Texas Ranger.
Phoebe Waller. It's not Walker, is it?
Phoebe Walker Texas Natch Bridges. That's her name.
So I have you seen her show? I can't remember the name of it that I don't have in front of me.
Walker?
No, it's not Walker.
Yeah, I've seen
it's
it.
Chuck Norris is so awesome.
What's the name of her show, people? Help me out. Phoebe
Nash Bridges?
Sorry.
Miami Vice.
Miami Vice.
Up in Smoke.
No kidding, I hate all of you right now. Fleabag. It's called Fleabag. Thank you, internet.
Remember that.
I checked out Fleabag, which my buddy Chris said he could have made some joke about the Red Hot Chili Peppers on stage look. what do you call the sock that Flea wears? Fleabag. But Fleabag, watch the first few minutes of the pilot. Just, I got to check this out. She's in Star Wars. Man, very, very funny, very sexual, very dark, sort of brooding humor. Very, very interesting show on Amazon, Fleabag. You got to check it out.
Perfect for a Han Solo movie.
One thing I am noticing, too, about this picture is if you look at the background of the Millennium Falcon back there, mm-hmm. it already looks worn and weathered and like it's been through some shit. So one thing that I was kind of curious was, are we going to see a bright and shiny new Millennium Falcon, or are we not going to see it? And already in this picture, it looks like it's been around.
Well, it's a hunk of junk, man.
Now, what I noticed about the background of the picture is the sort of aquamarine blue sort of pads that are on the wall. That color does not look right to me.
I feel like that's just lighting.
Yeah.
Like they're white, but it's just lighting.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, as you remember to go when you're searching for Phoebe Walker Texas Rangers show, it is Fleabag, not Fleas Bag. That's an entirely different movie altogether.
Do not Google that.
Do not search for Fleas Bag.
Yes. Like, don't do not.
Apostrophe S.
Do not.
Okay. I have to say,
I can imagine what that is, and I'm just going to leave it to my imagination.
This picture, though, man, and we mentioned most of the people on here, but, man, that Chewbacca, what a Wookiee.
What a Wookiee!
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Somebody got the song.
What do you get Chewbacca for Christmas if he already has a comb? You ever hear that song?
No.
Oh, come on.
No, what is that?
I'm going to have to dig that up. What do you get a Wookiee for Christmas if he already has a comb? Something like that.
You're making this up as you
I am
along.
Not. I swear I'm going to find
say
it.
Say the same thing.
At least
my song was on a soundtrack, man.
I am going to find it and rub your little faces in it. That's what I'm going to do.
I don't know. What a Wookiee is a my song.
All right. What else we got here? Okay. Oh, this was a cool story. William Shatner was involved in helping a kid with autism online. The parents were tweeting about their kid. He's got some food issues, and the only food that the kid will eat right now is Kraft Star Wars mac and cheese. And they ran out of it. They couldn't find any, and so Shatner goes online and he says, "Hey Kraft, can you help out?" And Kraft found like 80 cases of this mac and cheese and sent it to this family. Thought that was pretty cool. Captain Kirk helping out kid find his Star Wars mac and cheese. I thought that was kind of a cool story.
Oh, it's nice.
It is.
William Shatner helping out, man.
Now he's going to have some dietary problems. Steve, yeah, come on. Back me up on this.
I got to admit, that was my first thought. Like, man, that's all the kid eats?
That's cool. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Let's see. What else we have here? Tony Dow. This made the news a couple of weeks ago. Tony Dow, who is best known for his role as Wally Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver, little kid Wally on the show from the 50s. Of course, he's an old man now, but he's making a Star Wars documentary called The Line Kings, celebrating the endless enthusiasm of Star Wars fans, written and produced by Billy Ryback and Steve Rubin. It's going to start shooting this spring, and it's going to focus on a group of rabid Star Wars fans who camp out for days on Hollywood Boulevard in front of the iconic TCL Chinese Theater after Disney announces that the fans who are first in line after 4 days will win walk-in roles in the next film in the series. So this is a real movie. He's making this movie, and it's about Star Wars fans.
All right. So first, I'm amazed that that person is still alive.
Yeah.
Second, didn't they do something like this already with one of the prequel trilogy movies, like The Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones, do a documentary about the people waiting in line to see that movie?
Yeah, Scott, yeah, you've mentioned this before.
It's called Star Wait, right?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it's Attack of the Clones.
Okay. So I guess the hook is it's in line because you're going to win a contest and actually be in the movie as opposed to you're just fulfilling a lifelong fantasy or hidden calling to be in line to see it, you know, for 2 weeks at a time. Which I'm not going to lie, I thought about doing when I was younger for Return of the Jedi. But then I became gainfully employed and I decided I wouldn't do that anymore.
And you would like to stay gainfully employed, actually.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, I have a photo of, do you remember when The Phantom Menace came out and people were waiting in line for, was it 2 months?
2 months.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a picture of me. So Steve and I almost share a birthday around the 1st of April. And I went up to my wife took me out to a club and a few other places up in Hollywood at the time in April of 99. And I have a picture of the guy who was first in line at Grauman's Chinese Theater on April 10th, which happens to be my birthday. And it's just a weird shot. I told the group that we were with, we have to stop. We were in Hollywood. I was wasted beyond belief. Go figure. And I'm like, I have to take a picture with the first person in line at Grauman's Chinese for The Phantom Menace. And this was a full month before the movie came out. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have a picture of me standing in line with that guy and a few people behind him with tents and everything. It was just hilarious. I'm like, I can't believe this is really happening. And then look what we got, Jar Jar.
And talking about Jar Jar, it's our last story of the day, guys, actually.
Great, dear God, great, in heaven.
Great transition, Scott. Thank you. The fate of Jar Jar Binks, everyone's favorite Star Wars character, has been revealed. This is Polygon.com. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
And,
I saw that.
This is, let's see. Acclaimed Star Wars author Chuck Wendig was just as obsessed with the question of what happened to lovable Jar Jar as most fans are, and decided to answer it in his new book, Star Wars Aftermath, Empire's End. If you want to continue on believing that Jar Jar ended up living a wonderful life, stop reading here. So he, in the book, apparently, and Dave, have you picked this up yet? Are you reading this Empire's End?
I have picked it up. I'm maybe 20 pages in.
Okay. Well, I don't want to spoil anything for you.
But I've read these reports, so I know where you're going.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right. So Jar Jar is discovered by an orphan named Mappo on the planet Naboo. That's where he's approached by the young boy. They strike up a conversation, and the classic Jar Jar Binks we all know and love returns. Mappo introduces himself to the Gungan, who responds, "Misa Jar Jar! Misa Jar Jar making some uh-oh mistakes," Jar Jar says. "Tisa his and Naboo Tinkai helped the uh-oh empire. Oh, boy. I got to work on my Jar Jar. Like Wendig's two other books in the Aftermath trilogy, the original novel and Life Debt, Empire's End, will take place after Return of the Jedi. So, guys, we actually get to know, this is canon, what happened to Jar Jar Binks. Finally, we get to the truth.
So he's answered a question that nobody really wanted to have answered, which I guess is great. But it I guess he's just continuing his tradition of having these little vignettes that have nothing whatsoever to do with the actual story that he's trying to tell, interrupting the flow of the story he's trying to tell, which is not annoying at all, if you can't tell from my tone of voice.
Well, if you're a fan of Jar Jar, does this make you want to run out and buy the book? Is he selling more books because he's got this this vignette built in?
In all seriousness, I don't see how it would do that, because the vignette sounds like it's so short. I mean, it's a 300 plus page book, and that right. sounds like it's maybe a page or two. I don't see, you know, plopping down $15 to get that when you can read pretty much most of it online. I don't think it's a sales ploy, but I personally am mostly disappointed that this seems to bury forever the idea that Jar Jar Binks was a Sith agent and was, you know, very cleverly inserting himself as a fool in the first movie to set himself up for everything. Because I, along with that guy at the bar you talked to that night, Steve,
yeah.
I've always been a fan of that theory.
I love that theory. And if you go back and watch the movies with that in mind, it plays out so perfectly. He just keeps screwing up and helping the Empire every chance he gets. It's awesome.
Against all odds, he screws up and helps the Empire every time.
Yep.
Every damn time.
Every time. All right, guys, I have a little bonus for you. I did some research. And, yep, I was able to find what do you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already owns a comb? Oh, dang it. Cut off. Oh, there we go.
Fake.
Here we go. This is it.
Nope. Still nope.
Yep, nope.
Still not happening.
I'm going to play my What a Wookiee.
Is this The Sounds of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. This Wookiee song will never end.
you can't hear that at all?
No.
Oh, son of a...
No, it's just in your head, Steve. It's not real.
It really is. Literally just in your head.
All right.
Well, okay, I have a bit of music-related trivia, since we're on a trivia-related kick tonight. So, and in...
Hang on.
Oh, boy. Chewbacca! Huh. All right, hold on. I figured this out. You're going to have to hear this through my headset, so hold on.
No, Steve, I got this. I got this.
You
so,
got
so, the
you
first
got
one
it?
That I posted is the right song, right? Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Same thing. All right, here we go. Ah, this is it.
For Skywalker, right?
Yes.
And perfume for the princess.
Yes. Yep.
What about Han Solo?
All right.
Yep. That leaves one big problem.
What?
What do we get about comb?
Why can't you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already owns a comb?
Yeah!
Why can't you get in a hurry for a furry kind of friend like that to take home? He doesn't need a tiny clip, and he doesn't use shaving foam. So why can't you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already owns a comb?
There you go. There you go. Thank you.
What the fuck?
What do you get a Wookiee when he already owns a comb, Greg? I think that's the name of the album. It's actually What the Fuck.
Can we go back to Stop Giving Me Choices, Please?
That was actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Anyway, so... trivia. Star Wars music trivia.
Would you rather do Star Wars music trivia or listen to...
I love that Greg is just trying to pick right back up where he left off.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the taste out of my mouth is what I'm trying to do. Mm. So, I think it's 1978, 79 or something like that. There was a Star Wars Christmas album that was released. Christmas mm-hmm. in the Stars was the name of this album. What international recording superstar made his recording debut? This was his first ever recorded music put out to vinyl tape, what have you. International famous recording star, not Anthony Daniels, otherwise known as C-3PO, who's also featured heavily on this album. What famous recording star sang a song on this album?
Christmas. I would like to make a point of saying that it is John Bon Giovanni.
John Bon Jovi sings. What song is that he sings?
Merry Christmas, R2-D2.
Yeah, R2-D2. Holy shit! And the track before that is What Can You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When He Already Owns a Comb. This song is on that album, guys.
Yes.
It all comes around.
Greg, next time we're over, will you play that, please?
Yeah.
Will you spin that?
Does it list him as... It's not John Bon Jovi. It's John Bon Giovanni or something. Right?
Yeah, in the liner notes, it's his actual name, which is Bon Jovi. Yeah, it's Bongiovi or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I have that somewhere. I totally forgot about the Chewbacca. Oh, that was horrible. Sorry.
Yeah. I actually have it. I just have it digitally. I don't have an actual copy of it. I saw it once and I almost bought it, but they wanted $80 for it.
Yeah, no, that's not right. That's not
$80.
Wow. I said no.
American.
Yeah.
Not Canadian.
Not Canadian.
Yeah, I believe I have a copy of the Christmas album on cassette, and then I also have the Mako album. The disco, which is on vinyl.
Galactic Funk and Other Hits, if you will.
Oh, so good. Wow. So good.
Strong. Very strong. If Steve wasn't so partial to that that reggae remix we have at the end, which I am also a fan of, I don't want to disparage it at all. I think it's the perfect outro music. You know, I think that we should definitely go with the Mako flavor instead, but I think other podcasts use it as well. So
yeah
there's a fairly popular Star Wars podcast named Rebel Force Radio that I think uses that pretty exclusively.
Oh, do they use it as part of their outro?
They do, and it's so good. I love it. That disco, man, it's so good. But if you guys want to cut up a mix, we can cut it into something. You guys, you know, feel free to edit your little hearts out and we'll incorporate it however you want.
Steve's like, please produce something. Let me not do everything on this goddamn show, please.
Well, speaking of that, is it time for a Very Lonely Luke tweet?
It's funny you should mention that. It's the Very Lonely Luke tweet of the week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
It's so not fair at all. You know, we, as members of the Wretched Hive, did a lot of talking about the Oscars tonight. We are not the only ones talking about the Oscars, however. Very Lonely Luke also watched the ceremony. He gets pretty good reception out there on that lonely island that he's on. And he says this on February the 27th. I went to an awards ceremony after I blew up the Death Star. It wasn't all that fancy. But at least they announced the winners right.
Burn!
Thick burn, Very Lonely Luke.
That was actually pretty good this week.
I thought so too.
Good job, VLL.
Nicely done.
Very topical. Well, if you...
What does he pay for his cable out there on the island?
Republic credits!
He probably uses the hand for an antenna.
He has to sit there for 4 hours with his hand up in the air, though. That's the only thing that sucks.
Yeah, but if you need to adjust it, just think about how easy it is. Just turn your hand. Well, if you would like to tell us how easy it is to adjust Luke's television hand antenna, you can leave us a voicemail. 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. You can also email us, wretchedhive@yahoo.com. Of course, always check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. We are on Twitter, @wretchhivepod. And maybe the easiest way to find us is on iTunes. Open up the iTunes on your computer or your phone and search for The Wretched Hive. We are the first ones to come up in your feed there. Subscribe to the show. Leave a review. 5 stars, 1 star. We don't care. Any stars is great. We just want to hear from you, fans of The Wretched Hive podcast. And guys, episode 31 is in the books. Another successful show. Any final thoughts as we close out episode 31?
Jungle Book deserved it.
Lies. Jungle Book apologist.
Lies. Fake news.
Fucking Mogwai.
Greg, are we on for Jungle Cast after this?
Right after this, man.
Perfect. All right, well, less than 300 days until episode 8. I'm pretty pumped. It's going to go fast. It's you know, long days and short months. Story of my life here, so it's going to get here sooner than we know it.
Well, Dave's hosting a Rogue One party at his house on his brand new TV in 3 weeks.
Well, we have that prequel, that original trilogy re-release to celebrate in a month or two anyway.
Yeah, so we got to watch that on your show. Hey, guys, have a good couple of weeks. May the Force be with us all. We'll see you.